invite you to open in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We'll read just the first four verses this morning. Well, let's read the first five. Let's stand as we do out of respect to the Word of God as we read from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Here God tells us, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider a few simple thoughts this morning, we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we're continuing our study through 1 John, considering the promises that God gives to the believer. Those promises that cause us to be able to have an optimistic outlook no matter what this world seems to hold in store for us. We can always be hopeful and we can always be expectant simply because God has made so many wonderful promises. Now this morning, the promise that I would like to consider in these verses is simply that God has given us the promise of free service. Free service. Now those words seem to be oxymorons, opposites of each other, because if we're performing service, too often we think that it's something we're obligated to do, something we have to do, something we don't have a choice in the matter. And when we consider the idea of free, that's the idea that we can choose to do whatever we want. But we find that in Christ, He makes things different. He changes our perspective. He changes our outlook. He changes our relationships with other people. And as a result of that, we find that we render to God free service. Free service. Now, people that are caught up in the religions of this world do not understand what free service to the God they're worshiping is all about. To them, if they don't offer certain sacrifices or do certain responsibilities that are there, certain religious ritual and ceremony, then the God that they're praying to, that they hope is in heaven, will help them. But if they neglect those things, then God, their God, will not bless them, will not meet their needs. They don't have a concept of free service. But there's a God in heaven whose name is Jesus. And Jesus says, if you'll but come and accept Him by faith and secure your eternal life, not in what you can do, but in what Jesus has already done on the cross of Calvary, when He shed that precious blood for your sins. If you'll come to this God in heaven named Jesus, He says that you can then worship Him, you can serve Him freely. I guess a subtitle to this would simply be happily obedient. Happily obedient. This morning I'd like to ask you, are you happily obedient? You see, it's one thing to be obedient. And those of us who are parents know it's another thing to be happily obedient. Just remember back in those days, if your kids are grown, if they aren't, remember those days when you look in your child's room and you understand it needs some attention. And you know what I mean. And you go to your child and you say to them, "Hey, I would like to see you address your room. Give it some attention." Now, they have three choices, don't they? Choice number one is they can say, "I'm not going to do it." Choice number two is, "I'll do it only because you make me." Choice number three is for them to say, "Yes, sir," or "Yes, ma'am," and to go happily on their way and do what they've been asked to do. Now, which one of those responses brings their parent the most pleasure? When they go on their way and do it happily. Now, those of us with kids are really smiling at that, because how many times has that ever happened in your life?
I'm trying to remember if that ever happened in my life, and I've got five of them. I don't know that I ever remember that happening. I know there have been times they've done it when they haven't been asked. That happens often. It happens a lot, and I guess that's the same way, and that does make me very pleased. Not as often as I'd like to see it happen, but it does happen. But when we serve God, because He's given us a whole lot of things He wants us to do, hasn't He, in His Word? When we serve God, again, we have those same three options in our life, don't we? God says you are free to say no. Now, with that no comes consequences. We understand that. When little Johnny doesn't clean his room when mom tells him to, there's pretty much going to be some consequences involved with that decision. Still free to make the decision, but the consequences are going to come nonetheless. When we say no to God, when God tells us to do something, and it's very clear from the Word of God, there's an awful lot of things that are very clear. And I'm not going to take the time to elaborate on those. You know what God's telling you to do. And when you say no, God says that's okay. You can. You don't have to do what I say. You can choose to do whatever you want to. You can say no, God says from heaven. But He says there will be consequences. He says you can choose to say no to what I'm asking you to do, but you cannot choose the consequences that you're going to suffer as a result of that choice. Just as I tell my kids that when they're experiencing those consequences on their backside, they're being told often that this is to help you remember next time to make a better choice. When God brings those consequences into our lives, that's what He's trying to tell you. He's trying to tell you very lovingly and very gently, well, not so gentle sometimes, but He's trying to tell you, I want to help you make a better choice next time around. Because when God asks us to do something, it's always best, isn't it? We may look at our options in life and say, what God is asking me to do is not my best option. From our perspective, that often is the case. But God says, trust me, this is best for you. It's best for me, God says, but it's also best for you. Always make that right choice. But you have that choice to say no. I think the average Christian falls into the second category, having made that second choice. I'll do what God makes me do, but I won't do any more than that. And I don't have to like it, but I'll still do it. And we consider that obedience. And we still think, well, I'm a good Christian because I don't drink, because I don't smoke, because I don't cuss, because I don't go to places I ought not to go. We think, well, that makes me a good Christian. Now, we stand on the outside and we look at those doing those things and enjoying those sinful pleasures, and we're longing to do it in our hearts. And when we do that, what we're saying is, I'm not doing it, but only because God's making me not do it. I'd really like to do it, and we're doing it unhappily. That's probably the average Christian life. Now, I don't think there's very many of us in the room this morning that wish we were out smoking a cigarette right now or getting drunk or had woken up with a hangover. Now, maybe you're like that this morning. I hope not, but most of us aren't that way. But you know, there's a lot of things God asks us to do that we don't necessarily want to do. But we do it grudgingly. What about reading our Bibles every day? Well, it's a hard habit to get into, isn't it? For so many people. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes time. You endure a lot of frustration. I was talking to Joshua in our Bible study this week about when I first got saved and was reading my Bible, and I had a pretty decent, a college-level dictionary. And I remember looking in that dictionary, looking up words, and I came across a word that really frustrated me, and it actually made me angry that I could not find that word in the dictionary. It was the word H-A-T-H, the word half. How many of you know what the word half means? I hope you know what it means. It's very simple. It just means has. But I had not yet understood at that point in my Christian life that
in the old English way of spelling, instead of putting an S on the end of a word, they put TH. And I remember how upset that made me. Sometimes we run into situations like that, and so we just give it up. And we say, you know, it's just not worth the effort. But God tells me to. So I'll read my two or three verses that are in the daily bread or in the devotional I'm using, but that's all I'm going to do. I've been obedient, but I didn't necessarily enjoy it. And that's the way most Christians are. We do the same thing with witnessing for Christ. If we're confronted, if we're put on the spot, if we're made to do it, we'll do it, but we're not going to do it of our own free will. We're not going to initiate a spiritual conversation with our neighbor or with our co-worker unless God makes us do it. That's not happily obedient. That's that child who goes running and stomping to their room and cleaning their room only because they don't want to have to suffer the consequences. It doesn't bring their parent any pleasure, nor does that kind of obedience or service to God bring him any pleasure. Yes, you're obedient, but no, your attitude is not right, is not correct. The third attitude is the attitude spoken of in 1 John chapter 5. The attitude God promises that you can have. If you're having any trouble doing anything for God, then you need to pay attention and memorize 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. That first phrase, for this is the love of God, is not God's love demonstrated to man. This is man's love for his Father in heaven. This is the love that the Christian has for God. The same God who created such a wonderful world for us to live in. The same God who gave us all the splendor of the color, gave us all the taste, all the smells, all the wonderful sounds for us to listen. You know, one of the joys of waking up early in the morning is just listening to the birds. And it's interesting to hear at different times, different birds wake up and then they quiet down. What a blessing it is from God. He could have made all those birds sound like a crow. Don't those just kind of grate on your nerves? I was up early enough to hear the birds before the crows, and I was still up because I hadn't gotten out of bed yet and heard those crows. Oh man, if that's ever a call to get up, nothing is. That's worse than an alarm clock. But you know, God gave us a lot of pleasurable sounds. I'm glad for some of those not so pleasurable sounds too. You know, those sounds that are sounds of alarm. We need to be able to hear those. That little child who is hurt pretty seriously. And that blood-curdling, so unpleasant sound that they make when that happens. So you know you need to get there and help. This creation, the same God is in heaven. That word of love. The same God who loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on our behalf. Not because He had to, but because He wanted to. Not because we deserved it, but because He's merciful. Not because we could ever earn it, but simply because He's gracious. He sent that Son to die in your place and in my place. This is the God we're called to love. How do we love this God? How do we love this God? The only relationship that we have in this life that we can compare it to is our love for our parents. Our parents who sacrifice to give us the best possible life they can. Those parents who sacrifice their time for you. Those parents who will go without so you can have. How do we respond in love? It's natural for us to give them all of our love, isn't it? And yet we have a Father in heaven who has given us so much more than any earthly parent could hope to give their child. Not because we don't want to, but because we're incapable of doing. We have a God in heaven who deserves such great love from us as no other love relationship could compare. And yet our love for Him is often so cold, so callous, and so ungrateful, isn't it?
God says, you want to know if you love me? He says, I'm going to tell you how you can know. He says, here's the love of God. First of all, that we keep His commandments. And secondly, and this is what I'm talking about this morning, are you happily obedient? His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. When God has asked you to do something, and I say when because I know He's asked each one of you this morning to do something. If you're not saved this morning, God has given you a commandment. That commandment is to believe on His Son. If you are saved, God has given you many commandments. He's given you things you shouldn't do. He's given you things you should do. Does the doing of those commandments bring you grief? Or are you happily obedient? Are you excited? I remember Rod Tyree. Many of you will remember Rod Tyree. I remember when I baptized him. And I remember how much difficulty it was baptizing Rod Tyree. You say, well, preacher, how can it be hard to baptize someone? I know some people are concerned about going under the water and trying to get them back out because going over backwards, they can't help themselves. I mean, that's a picture of the resurrection and of salvation. We cannot help ourselves, and so we're completely dependent on that one to bring us up. We're dependent on God to save us. So the picture is there. Some people are concerned, but there is no weight, very little weight at least, to bringing them up because of the water and the buoyancy there of the human body. The reason it was difficult to baptize Rod Tyree is because he was so excited. I've never seen anyone so excited as he was to follow the Lord in baptism. And so when I went to baptize him, he decided he was going to help me. Now the best thing to do, if you've never been baptized, just bend your knees and kind of go back with my hand, okay? Everything will be just fine. But Rod wanted to help me out. And so he threw himself back. And I thought the poor fellow was going to knock himself out on the back of the baptistry wall. I literally had to pull him from nailing that thing with his head. He still hit it a little bit. It was softly enough where I don't even know if he noticed. But that's the kind of obedience we need to have to be happily obedient. That's the kind of obedience we're supposed to have if His commandments are not grievous. How excited are you about coming to church? Whether it be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Whether it be a special meeting like our pastor's meeting. I didn't announce an announcement this morning. It's only a week from Tuesday. I encourage you to come. Hear some good preaching. Well, I'm excited about you. You know me. I'd be in church all day, every day if I could. Do we get excited about church? Do we wake up on Sunday morning and say, hey, praise the Lord, it's Sunday today. I get to go to church. And I get to worship God and study God's Word and fellowship with my Christian family there. We ought to get excited about these things, but too often that's not the case. You see, we're not happily obedient. His commandment of church attendance becomes grievous. What about Bible reading time? Do you have to be forced to read your Bible? Do you do it grudgingly? I know I've already talked about it somewhat. But what is the attitude when you get to read? You wake up in the morning and say, hey, I can't wait to get to my Bible reading today. That ought to be our response to the Word of God if we're happily obedient. If we have to struggle to find that time, it's grievous. It's grievous. What about our prayer time? Are you excited about an opportunity to get alone with God? Are you happily obedient? Or is that commandment grievous? What about the opportunity? And again, I talked about this one already. Sharing our faith with others. Is that grievous? Is it grievous to you that I announce we're having church visitation on Saturday to go tell others about Christ? Are you excited and say, well, preacher, it's about time. Can't we do it tomorrow and the next day? You see, the problem is, if we had a handout sheet, we had a little checkbox next to each one of these things that God wants us to do, we check it off and say, okay, this is a little grievous. This one's a little grievous. Or maybe we should turn that around. Because we would certainly say, well, those things aren't grievous to me. But let's turn it around the other way. And say, I anticipate, am excited about, and enthusiastic about reading my Bible. Going to church every time. Praying. telling others, if we can't check the box on that imaginary check sheet, then I just can't wait till the next opportunity to do whatever it is. Then God says, we don't love Him like He wants us to love Him. He says, His commandments have become grievous to us. It's a very simple message this morning. Have God's commandments become grievous to you? Or are they something you anticipate and enjoy? And the ultimate answer to that question is, do you really love this God in heaven who sent His only Son to die for your sins? The same God in heaven who made a way through His grace that you could escape the flames of hell for all eternity. The flames of hell that you deserve for all eternity. Do you love this God? Do you happily and freely serve Him? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we know that in a lost condition, it's impossible for us to freely serve. We look at all Your commandments as nothing more than a restraint to our fun. But Father, we thank You that after we're saved, You change our hearts, our minds, our attitudes. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning struggling with that change, that You would speak to their hearts. Father, with the Lord's table to come, we know there won't be much of an invitation. But nevertheless, we do invite those who need to come. Father, I pray that they would do so. And certainly, if there's any here this morning that are without Christ, if they were to die right now, they don't know if they'd wake up in heaven or hell. Father, I pray that they would reach out to this one, You, who loved them so much, and be saved before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.